Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on yet another incredible day across Scottish football. Wilfried Nancy is sacked by Celtic after 33 days in charge on the back of an Old Firm defeat on Saturday. Jimmy Tilleen's gone as well as Aberdeen begin their search for a new manager. Should the likes of Motherwell and St Mirren fans be worried about their bosses being recruited for either of those positions? I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me to look back on it all, the wackiest season ever in Scottish football just keeps on giving, it's Andy Halliday and Roger Hannah.
33 days, Gordon, 8 games, 6 defeats, empty seats in the stand long before the final whistle on Saturday, protests in the car park, and now Wilfried Nancy is sacked. He takes with him Kwame Ampadu, his assistant. He takes 2 more members of the backroom staff, and he takes the head of football operations, Paul Tisdale. This is a momentous day for Celtic. It is the admission that they got things dreadfully wrong when they decided Wilfried Nancy was the permanent successor to Brendan Rodgers, and they need to get it 100% spot on right from now on in.
The Stranger Things finale was on New Year's Day, but the Scottish Stranger Things sequel rolls on with the strangest season we have ever seen. And I rolled into the car park today fully thinking that the biggest news will be talking about the game at the weekend. But Scottish football does itself. It has another wee nugget for us to talk about. Wilfried Nancy loses his job. 8 games, as Roger says, but you've got to say it was 8 games too many.
And by the way, Andrew, January the 5th, Enzo Maresca, Jimmy Tilleen, Ruben Amorim, Wilfried Nancy, 2026 is not going to be the year of the manager.
So what you're trying to say, Stephen Robinson to Aberdeen, Ruben Amorim to St. You've lost me. You think they would fancy a trip north of the border?
It's a dangerous job.
Paisley's nice at this time of year. 0141 951 1025. Give us a call and let us know what's on your mind. I remember years ago doing this job, used to have to sometimes worry about what you were going to talk about at night and plan ahead and research things. Now we just turn up, open the phone lines, and away we go, because Scottish football quite simply never disappoints these days. For months we've known it was one of the wackiest seasons of all time, and it just keeps on giving. 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, many of you felt this was inevitable weeks ago. If it wasn't, it certainly felt inevitable on Saturday around 3 o'clock. Then Sunday came, then Monday morning came, and still no announcement. But finally this afternoon, Wilfried Nancy gone. 33 days, 8 games, 6 defeats, 18 goals conceded. That was the only one Roger Hannah missed out that's maybe worth a mention. And it is all over. What did you make of it? I think you'll all say it was the right call, so I won't waste too much time on wondering if anyone disagrees. But just all your reaction, what you made of it, the way it's happened, the fact that Paul Tisdale's gone as well, the way that this has dragged on up until now, the full backroom staff are gone, what happens next? Martin O'Neill, for a second time this season, what does that say about where Celtic are at the moment? Would they do that? Would they look longer term? Do you go back to the shortlist, whatever that looked like when Wilfried Nancy was appointed? Because we didn't really hear too many other names. I know Ange Postecoglou remains very popular in your hearts, and I wonder if there are any Motherwell players fearing that the in-form manager in the league could be pinched away.
No comment.
Would you go with him, Andy?
Absolutely not. No. But I don't think he's going anywhere.
He likes you though. He likes your tactical insight. Well, put it this way, he doesn't play you, so he must be keeping you around for something. You see, you're Celtic number 2.
I certainly wouldn't be giving him the correct tactical insight if I was at that part of Glasgow, that's for sure.
But yesterday I was on my Motherwell group chats, were panicking about Aberdeen having a nibble.
You've got to Aberdeen.
And now all of a sudden,
any chance? Come
so
on now.
You're relaxed about this, are you?
I'm for now. But how long that will last, we'll soon see. If any Yen's rumours start to come out, I might get a wee bit more panicky, but I'm quite settled just now.
0141 951 1025. Come on, let's go through all this together. It's a bit annoying because I used the whole, oh, we could extend the show to midnight. I've used that. I've used it quite too often this season. The patter's getting repetitive.
It can't be 8 o'clock, I'll tell you that for now.
Seriously, Roger Hannah, what's going on? And where are Netflix? I know you can't retrospectively get your cameras into every corner of Scottish football, but what is going on?
Well, there's a many Netflix box sets you couldn't complete in 33 days. So there's not much chance that I'm doing one in the Wilfred Nancy era. We will look back in this in 5 or 10 or 20 years' time, Gordon, and sort of shake our heads in disbelief that Celtic went through these 33 days. I think it took them longer, 37 days, to actually appoint Wilfred Nancy after Brendan Rodgers' departure. And yet 33 days on, he's gone. I go back, I'd love him to phone tonight. I go back to sitting here.
Nancy.
No. Well, I'd love Wilfred to phone tonight. But the Monday evening after Wilfred Nancy's first game, when they lost to Hearts, I called her phone and I timed it. It was at 6:39 p.m. and wanted Wilfred Nancy sacked. And he's got his wish tonight. But many a Celtic supporter between then and now, the penny dropped that Celtic had made a horrendous error of judgment in going for this man. And it fascinates me tonight that Paul Tisdale has also paid for that horrendous error of judgment with his job.
Right, whilst you get your calls lined up, it is a Monday, we'll still do it, we won't dwell on it. It feels like one of those nights where everything's going to have to be pushed to one side. But quickly, result of the weekend, Roger Hannah.
It has to be Rangers winning at Celtic Park. At 1-0 at half time, you would never have seen how events would turn. Maybe we should have seen it, given some of Celtic's second half performances under Wilfred Nancy. But Yusuf Chirmiti scored twice. Mikey Moore got one. And Wilfred Nancy had the look of the condemned man as he walked up the tunnel.
I'm sure you enjoyed that result as well, Andy Halliday. But what was your result of the weekend, that aside?
Yeah, I'm going to go for Motherwell, but I'm going to extend it to result of the week. Okay. I was with
not really allowed, but whatever.
I was with you during the week when Motherwell beat Celtic, and I was praying for an emergency show the next day so we could talk about what was undoubtedly the best performance I have ever seen from a non-Old Firm team against an Old Firm team. And then to follow that up, playing against a difficult St Mirren side, who are obviously in a difficult position in the league, but everyone always talks about how difficult it is to play against St Mirren. Completely nullified them for the get-go. Another comfortable win. What a fantastic week it was.
Goal of the weekend?
Well, something's got to go right for Celtic, even in these difficult times. I'm going to go for Yang Hyun-jin.
I'm sure that will cheer the Celtic fans up tonight.
Great burst off the right. Hi, past Jack Butland. And then everything went downhill.
I mean, it didn't count for much, but I did wonder in that moment how Hugh Keevans was taking the news.
Well, I was in the car driving to Rugby Park for Super Scoreboard, and he said, I'm just waiting on Marvin Bartley texting me.
Well, it may have been your goal of the week, but at 1:45 it was my howler of the week, the fact that Jack Butler let it go in. Oh. But we'll let it slide for now, and I'm going to go for Elliot Watt. You won't see a better goal scored by a shin all season long.
I was going to say, are we giving goal of the weekend?
Celtic hub, a Celtic shin.
Doesn't matter how it goes in.
Okay.
Again, I'll add in the move as well. Lovely move. There was an element of scrappiness towards the end of it, but still, the ball rolled out to the edge of the box. When a ball goes in post, and it always looks a bit better.
It was a great line by your manager as well, saying if he'd hit it with his laces, it would have landed in Tim Horton's parking lot.
Do you know what I liked about that? Just showing his local knowledge there to the Motherwell area as well. I loved that. Anyway, right, to your howler of the weekend. This is an easy one, isn't it?
Who's going first?
On you go.
Both of us will probably take the same one.
No, I doubt it.
I'll go for Wilfried Nancy. Like I said, it was 8 games, and it was 8 games too many. You mentioned 33 days. A remarkable stat for me is Columbus Crew only hired their successor 5 days ago, and now he's sacked in his next job at Celtic. And again, having watched games, talked about the game against Motherwell during the week, again at the weekend there, he just looked like someone who was incapable of changing, and it's to his detriment, and it's the reason why he's not in a job today.
I'll go Jimmy Tilleen, sacked yesterday. A dreadful finale in the league last season, a dreadful start in the league this season, a historic Scottish Cup final win kept him in a job, but the pathetic submission at Falkirk on Saturday, I think everyone knew that he had to go.
And your top man of the weekend goes to...
Well, for a long period of time, it looked like 10 million down the drain, but then Yusuf Chumiti scored again. So the man that got the double at the weekend at Celtic Park, he's got my performer of the weekend.
That's a yellow card for you, if you ask me, Roger Hanna.
Oh, dear, dear. I was down, as I say, at Rugby Park. I'm going to have to go for Ellie Ewan of Hibs. Absolutely terrific.
Marvin Bartley's old pal.
Marvin Bartley's old pal. No Martin Boyle, no Nicky Cadden. Yeah, he was absolutely terrific. Two goals. Should have had a hat trick. And he'll be a threat to you guys on Saturday.
Has he been injured?
I've told you. Yes, he has.
Ah, right, okay.
Really good on Saturday. You're warned now.
Just don't make comments about leaving him on the ball when you get your rematch against Hibs. We'll get to
that's going to be interesting
later this week, I'm sure. Archie is first through on the phones. Wilfried Nancy is gone. Archie, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, Wilfried Nancy's gone, but where's the players following them? Useless players, the Commonwealth Celtic players. It's typical, a man walks in the door after 8 weeks, whatever, and gets a sack, and the useless crap we've got, his players are still there. But what I'll say, there's nothing to celebrate for any Celtic fans, because they should be ashamed of themselves, the performance as well, the way they were abusing the man over football matches. They should be, every one of them fans should be ashamed of themselves. But what I will say is, anyway, I think they should give the job to Sean Maloney, when he was doing well, when he was in charge there, to Martin O'Neill. He should get the job, I think, definitely. And hopefully, moving to the end of the season, see how he does, until we get another manager in. That's what I think, anyway.
Roger, it's not to disagree with what Archie says. You know, players need to take responsibility, yeah, that sort of thing. But that's managerial life. Because you can't sack all the players, so you sack the manager.
The oldest truism in football is it's easier to sack one manager than 22 players, Gordon. And that's why Wilfried Nancy has paid the price. I don't think, listen, Archie, nobody's pretending this is a classic Celtic squad. Don't take my word for it. Just listen to Brendan Rodgers in the opening weeks of the season. But it's a Celtic squad that Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney managed to get 7 wins out of 8 from. So they might have looked hopeless under Wilfried Nancy, but I think by the time they played Dundee United on Saturday, I expect them to be playing with a back four on Saturday. I expect them to be much improved from the way they were in the second half against Rangers and the way they were for the vast majority of Wilfried Nancy's time at the club. There will be reinforcements coming in January, possibly not the ones that were targeted by Wilfried Nancy and Paul Tisdale, but there will be reinforcements coming, and Celtic have a chance at the title again, Archie. I think if they'd stuck with Wilfried Nancy, they would not have had a chance at the title.
He squeezed a lot into those 33 days, Andy Halliday. Lost a top of the table clash against Hearts, lost a League Cup final. The final straw, of course, was Old Firm defeat, which never goes down well. The 18 goals conceded, the absolute commitment to playing three at the back when it wasn't working. It felt like that underlined it all. I mean, I know in this city it doesn't really matter how you lose the games, but it actually feels like it does here, because it was just the same old story, it felt like, for the vast majority of his time.
It was, and the same narrative in quite a few of the games as well, where Celtic actually play relatively well for 45 minutes, don't kill off the game, but then, like I says, the manager's incapability to recognise when the game's turning, and his inability to make changes to swing it back to Celtic's way. You know, Archie's talking about the players, and I don't think Celtic's, you know, problems are completely eradicated by sacking Wilfried Nancy. They're obviously short in certain areas. They're going to recruit players this January transfer window, but I'm watching games and I still feel like certain players have been hung out to dry by playing in a position where they're incapable of playing in, or they've never played in. And you know, it was quite interesting. A senior interview with Austin Trusty on Sky Sports News saying that he quite relishes playing as a lone defender in half a pitch. Refused to believe it, and I think you could see at the weekend where when you're getting exposed to that type of space, you're going to get punished.
I think he went on to say he quite enjoys it because it gives him the chance to show off his defensive skills. Mm. It didn't age particularly well that at the weekend.
Not much in the second half, no.
Again, results are just everything. You can't really look beyond 6 defeats in 8 games, Roger, but it's that combined with this system, isn't it? Rarely have we spoke so much in Scottish football terms, and it's funny, on the day that Ruben Amorim, yeah, big proponent of the 3-4-3, yeah, pays the price, he got a lot longer than Wilfried Nancy did.
Yeah, and listen, it's not systems, because I watched Hibs at the weekend playing 3 at the back, and they were fantastic against Kilmarnock, because they've got the players who can play 3 at the back. Celtic didn't have those players. You knew, you know, Tony Ralston Tony Nelson is fine at right back. Some Celtic fans won't agree with me. I heard the first call on the phone in Saturday afternoon, but he's not a centre back. Kieran Tierney, wonderful left back, who has the ability to play in there. I don't think he's a centre back. Yang, just giving him goal on the weekend. I don't think he's a wing back. I don't think Luke McCown's a left wing back. Good player though he is. I don't think Dyson Mide is a number 10. He was just trying to put square pegs into round holes. When it didn't work that first game against Hearts, and he had his wee tactics board out trying to explain it to Callum McGregor, you knew it wasn't working. You expected him to take a step back from it, and he didn't. He didn't. He stubbornly carried on. He stubbornly picked the same players in the same positions, whether it suited them or not. And that stubbornness and unwillingness to adapt is what's cost him his job.
Thank you, Archie. Jamie's on the other line. How do you feel as a Celtic fan tonight, Jamie?
Optimistic about the future. Looking at it now, we've got 18 games left. Need to play Hearts twice, Rangers twice, 12 points. Optimistic that we can go forward. Because, hi Roger, Andy and Gordon, sorry.
Don't worry about that, just you were in full flow, you carry on.
Because it just looks that now we can bring in, hopefully it's Maloney, and we can do a positive result before the end. Because it's one of the best seasons it's been, because we've not just got Rangers and Celtic that are losing goals, losing matches, Hearts, Motherwell, Aberdeen are not doing too well. It's a really good season so far.
Well, I was going to say, was this inevitable, Jamie? I just know the answer to that. When did it become inevitable to you that this wasn't going to work out?
Must have been Hearts game.
The first game one?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Everybody can lose a game.
You could tell the players weren't gelling. They weren't getting to the system. And
but that's allowed though in the first game, isn't it? That's
they were low in confidence.
Yeah, but I don't know, Roger. I asked Jamie's opinion, so I'm not now going to tell him he's not allowed to have it. But I don't think we can say we knew for sure after the first game. But game four, maybe Dundee United, the fans chanting his name. By the time it gets to game eight, when did you think it was all done?
Probably the day that night at Tannadice. Because
again, they were really good in the first half that night. I know, was there none of that for you?
No, not especially. And you can tell I mentioned Jimmy Tilleen there as the howler of the week. Jimmy Tilleen had good moments at Aberdeen, and there were moments when you thought, you know, so that's actually not a bad appointment. You know, he started really well, and then he sort of hit the skids, and then he won the cup, and then he hit the skids again. And there were moments in Jimmy Tilleen's 18-month reign when you thought, he's actually okay. At no stage did you think that about A, Russell Martin at Rangers, and B, Wilfred Nancy at Celtic. It struck you from very, very early that these were guys who were simply in the wrong jobs. Russell Martin may well go and do well elsewhere. Wilfred Nancy might go back to America or France or elsewhere and do quite well. But they were dreadfully ill-suited for the two positions they were put into this season, and you could tell from early doors that it wasn't going to work. And by the way, that's the only bit of credit you can give this Celtic board tonight, that they have admitted their error, they've put their hands up, they've taken ownership of it, and they've sacked the man.
I think that was the game before. I think a top of the table clash against a good Hearts side, I think that can happen. I think Roma at home can happen. I think the performance against St Mirren in a domestic cup final can happen. That, again, result potentially, the level of performance, still got vivid memories of seeing Liam Scales playing the left wing, whipping cross into the box, committing 9 bodies in the box and letting a lone centre half defend on his own. I thought from that point on, I just thought that I felt like the manager was in the wrong movie, and you know, some of the defensive frailties that we've seen, I think we've continued to see over the following 5 games after the St Mirren game, and you almost felt that it was inevitable after Tannadice, and then it was inevitable after Motherwell, and they've chose to pull the plug after the game against Rangers at the weekend. So Rangers had the worst start to a league campaign since, I think it was 1978, was it? Yeah. 48 years. And within the space of January, they're levelling points. So it tells you what Wilfred Nancy ended up doing in his 8 games.
What did you make of it, though? Give us a call right now. We'll continue reflecting on today's big news when we return.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
What a day in Scottish football. Yes, you can say that pretty much every day at the moment. But when Celtic or Rangers sack a manager after 33 days, rest assured these phone lines are going to be lively. Jamie is in New York. How are you, Jamie?
Aye, not too bad. How are you getting on, panel? He's all right.
Yes, all good. Inevitable is the word everybody seems to be using. Where are you on the news today?
Well, if Wilfred Nancy was in charge for 33 days, that means it's been 34 days since I phoned you and told you that I was absolutely dreading the appointment because I knew this was what was going to happen. He's just, the guy was far too inexperienced, took on a job that was too big for him, and I don't wish him any harm. Do you know what I mean? At the end of the day, like, he's just a guy in the wrong, like a square peg in a round hole. But aye, absolutely delighted and feel slightly vindicated as well.
What was it? So was it lack of experience that the league he came from, the profile? Because I think we said when Celtic are searching for a manager, you can't tick every box. You just can't. You either have to have some sort of downside, if you like. That's the food chain. What in particular worried you?
It was just the amount of goals that we were conceding and the fact that we couldn't defend persistently. A three at the back system with Anthony Ralston playing as a right centre back. Like you've heard it all before. Like we all know exactly what their downfall was. Going forward, Celtic looked nice at times. There was a couple of times against Rangers on Saturday that Celtic looked, oh man, actually we looked right up for this today. It was quite a contrast to how the last game against Motherwell had went. But I just think overall defensively, like just the guy just didn't have a clue. And I think what's happened is I don't want to like use the term arrogance because I don't know the guy personally. But I just don't think he knew the league. I don't think he did his homework. I don't think he knew how big the job was at Celtic. I don't think he understood Scottish football. And every single manager just tweaked it at half-time, just went, oh, that's how you play. No worries, we'll just do this, counter that, and then win the game. And that's what happened 6 or 8 times.
I mean, Andy, that the goals conceded number can't get away from 18 in that time. If you boil it down to just the league games, it was 12, and only Livy conceded more in the league in that time. Yeah. That is unthinkable. There were teams, no offence to them, there were average teams in the Scottish Premiership who conceded like 4 and 5 and 6 in that spell, and Celtic conceded all those goals. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, Livy's been a team that's struggled to score goals this season, and they scored 2 against Celtic last week, and in all fairness probably could have scored more. You know, Jamie wasn't alone in feeling that the appointment was a very, very risky to say the least. I think sitting mid-table in the MLS, been 3 years as a coach, it didn't seem like the body of work that would get you the Celtic job. And I feel as if you have to be not only a good coach, a good manager, I think you have to have that X factor to be a Rangers or a Celtic manager. You need to have that presence. You need to be able to handle the media in this nation, which is obviously difficult for guys in such high-pressure jobs. I just didn't think he ticked any boxes. Fans in this nation will not listen to "we don't lose, we learn." They won't listen to "we play brilliant, but by the way, we never won the game." I think everything that he was bringing to the party for Celtic just wasn't what was expected. And like you said, it felt inevitable. And the fact of the matter is, it is crazy to say that, you know, 33 days, but it generally felt as if it was, you know, X amount of days too long. You just felt it should have been done even a couple of weeks ago.
That word arrogance, Roger, I think a couple of weeks ago said that I didn't love it because it just felt a bit unnecessarily personal. But if you're going to talk about an unwillingness to sort of learn from your mistakes and an unhealthy determination to stick by your idea when it's not working, I at least see where it's coming from.
Listen, I don't know whether it's more of a naivety than an arrogance. You've seen people like this before coming in and thinking their way is the best way. I think the mistake that was made was believing that someone who had taken Columbus Crew to, like, was it 7th or 9th place in the MLS, and I think before he came in that he'd just won 3 of his last 12 games or something like that, that they could adapt to the pressure of Celtic or Rangers. It is a world apart, Gordon. And the reason I don't like the word arrogance is I've spoken to a few people who have spoken to Nancy and have been, you know, had conversations with him since he's been in the country, and he doesn't strike them as being an arrogant person. If anything, I think he's quite a likeable guy, but he just didn't get it at all. He didn't get the Celtic thing at all. He didn't get football life in Glasgow at all. And it just, despite being encouraged to change his ways, encouraged to go back to things that were serving Celtic so well before he came in. He just felt his way was the right way, and I think it's naivety that's caught up on him.
What about the bigger picture then, Jamie? Because all of this, I mean, Paul Tisdale's paid the price as well. The head of football operations is gone. What about those bigger questions as to who hired Wilfried Nancy? Who thought it was a good idea to let him come in November and try and implement a back three without a pre-season, without the players to do it? You know, all that sort of stuff.
Well, I think, I mean, Paul Tisdale leaving alongside him, I think, kind of answers that question for you. I mean, he's clearly had a very strong input on that, if not had the kind of final say on it. I don't think he would have had the final say. I think ultimately it probably would have been Dermot Desmond's call. Obviously, he bases that on information fed to him from the people that he's hired to do jobs, but those people just haven't done that job effectively. In terms of long term, I mean, I've not had it to anybody at all. I want Ange Postecoglou back at Celtic as soon as possible. I'd throw as much money at him, whatever, however much is left of the pot after paying off all the coaching staff. I would just give it to Ange and just give him a rebuild. But I think short to medium term, I think you'll see either Martin O'Neill or Sean Maloney come back. More realistically, I think it will be Sean Maloney. And hopefully we can be in a bit of a stronger place and go after the title. But I don't think Celtic win the title if they don't appoint Martin O'Neill. I think they need that influence because they blame the players, and people are always like, oh, these players are rotten, these players should be leaving with the manager. These players won 7 out of 8 under Martin O'Neill. Do you know what I mean? I'm not going to say they're certainly no prime Barcelona, but they're clearly capable of winning football matches, and I think Martin O'Neill would bring that back. Sean Maloney, I think without Martin's influence, might struggle to win the league.
Roger, the only thing more incredible than turning to a 73-year-old club legend 25 years after he arrived the first time would be doing it again within the space of the same season.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It does. Nothing's going to surprise you in this campaign, is it? Is that realistic?
No, and it's a real worry for Celtic where they go now, because this season alone, David Brendan Rodgers, they've had the trauma of the divorce from Brendan Rodgers and the statement that Dermot Desmond put out. They've brought in Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney,
which just quickly is quite interesting, because Dermot Desmond that night had you believe that Celtic's ills were all Brendan Rodgers' fault.
Yeah,
I see a lot of people on social media tonight pointing out that is today proof that that was not the case.
Well, in the 8 games subsequent to that, it looked as if he was right for a period of time, and that's maybe not aged quite so well since then. We've gone through the Martin O'Neill, Sean Maloney. We've been through 33 days of Wilfried Nancy and these three coaches who, you know, as I say, they'll all need paid off. They've gone through the departure of Peter Lawwell as chairman. They've now gone through the dismissal of Paul Tisdale as head of football operations. There has been a lot of change and a lot of dramatic change behind the scenes. So where do Celtic go now? In an ideal world, Gordon, Celtic would have a permanent manager on a 2.5 or a 3.5 year deal paraded before the United game at Celtic Park on Saturday afternoon, and they would charge on and try and retain the league title in the face of stiff opposition from Hearts and Rangers. But this isn't an ideal world. It's not an ideal season. And I wonder if they just simply have to turn back to Sean Maloney and possibly Martin O'Neill just to get them through to the end of the season and a bit of respite.
I think it's inevitable. Yeah, I really do. I think they're obviously, they're under a bit of pressure for the fan base. I think it's a safe pair of hands. I think it's a safe decision. I think it's almost inevitable, as I says, that it's the return of, whether it's Martin O'Neill or whether it's Sean Maloney, to guide the club from down to the end of the season. And I don't think there'll be too many disgruntled fans within that. I think they'd be relatively happy. I think a lot of the fan base wanted that backroom team to be the one that takes the top of the table clash at Hearts we talked about, the Roma game, the League Cup final against St Mirren. But the situation for them slightly different 8 games later when they're going back in. But one thing's for sure, Roger said it earlier, you know, they've made a lot of mistakes, but you do have to give some form of credit for Celtic's board by pulling the plug at this point, because there was two major questions to ask. Do Celtic have a better chance of winning the league under Wilfried Nancy or without Wilfried Nancy? I think everyone knew the answer. And then second of all, could you give him a transfer window to sign X amount of players, given X amount of money, to play a style and a system, knowing quite well that he was on a sugary peg? So fundamentally, I think they've done the right thing.
If Martin's there as well, Andy, people will look at Sean's own managerial CV. You know, he had a very brief spell at Hibs, he had a longer spell at Wigan, and it ended in a sour note. If you just look at that body of work, then it's probably not enough to become Celtic manager. But if Sean was there to the end of this season with Martin, if between them they won the league, then you wonder if Martin would maybe take a step back at that stage and, you know, Sean could become a manager having already enjoyed a bit of success. And if it goes awry in the next 6 months, then they'll just need to start again in the summer.
What about, you know, Jamie's point? Is the removal of Paul Tisdale some sort of acknowledgement that he... Because we said this in the weeks leading up, didn't we? We said that this is not easy. If you're going to remove Wilfried Nancy, you are admitting that you've made the biggest managerial mistake, arguably, in the club's history.
I'm not trying to be funny, Gordon, right? We have lots of people on here who will tell you the Celtic Rangers are the biggest clubs in the world. And they believe it. And of course, they're not the biggest clubs in the world. But they're big clubs, they're important clubs, they're traditional clubs, they're historic clubs. And I don't think, we'll all agree, and Jamie will agree with me, that Wilfried Nancy's CV with Columbus Crew and teams like that was no preparation for him to be coming into that role at Celtic. No disrespect to the clubs I'm about to mention, but Paul Tisdale's job at Exeter and Stevenage was no preparation for the role of head of football operations at Celtic. No preparation at all. You're working in different oceans. You're looking at different players. You're looking at different leagues. You're looking at different setups or different styles of football. You know, how is preparing Exeter or Stevenage for games in the lower league any sort of preparation for you to be selecting the type of player that Celtic need to kick on this season? And again, fair play to the Celtic board tonight. They've admitted they've made errors of judgment and they have now started again.
We said this a couple of weeks ago, didn't we, Gordon? We were discussing, you know, Wilfried Nancy and his appointment, his tenure at that time, that if the inevitable was to happen and he was to be sacked, that someone would have to be held accountable for it. And that man has been Paul Tisdale. If you're the head of football operations and your football is not operating properly, then... obviously, at least you're losing your job, and he's another one that's left the club today.
What about a different Jamie? This one's a bit closer to home in Paisley. How do you react to what's going on today, Jamie?
I just think that Wilfried Nancy should never have been in the job from the start. How are the panel tonight? All right.
Yeah, you did, Jamie.
Another thing I want to bring up, because I know that it's not been brought up yet, is the Luke McKeown, when he came out and stated that it was just never good enough. The way he talked about whether the manager changes the tactics at half-time or no, that's one thing I was confused about, is the reason why we're not as good in the second half of games. Is it the fact that, like, I don't know, are we going out and doing different formations and a different style of play compared to the first half of games? And another thing is, in the first half of games, why are we not taking the chances that we're getting given? Like, I mean, it's now been nearly 365 days since we had get rid of Kyogo, and since then we've definitely not replaced him. That's definitely true anyway. I'm just wondering your thoughts on that plan.
To be fair to Luke McKeown, Jamie, I think Luke McKeown's interview after the game on Saturday, and I'll throw in Austin Trussie's interview with Gordon prior to the game on Saturday, I think you can scratch them from the record, because they were put in a no-win situation. I think they were being asked publicly about a manager that the squad had sort of lost faith in, if you like. And there was no way Austin Trussie or Luke McKeown are going to say, listen, this guy's hopeless, we need to get rid of him. They have to toe the party line.
Without giving too much away, just quickly on that, I do wonder if the... I can reward it diplomatically. The fact that it was Austin Trusty that was put up to give that message might be quite telling.
You cut me off in my prime.
Sorry.
Callum McGregor, over many years, has been the spokesman for Celtic. I've said in this show before that in times of hardship, Callum McGregor is the glue that has held the football department together. When did Callum McGregor last speak publicly? When did Kieran Tierney last speak publicly? Kasper Schmeichel.
Callum McGregor did the immediate aftermath of the Livy game in the tunnel. With me, but again, you know that that's not the environment for a grilling on where the club is
at. And it's also after a win, one of the two wins he got in eight games. I think it's telling that the senior players in the dressing room did not come out in those times of hardship in six of the last eight games and address the situation, because it was a situation that was unravelling, and I don't think those senior players felt they could come out and support a manager that quite clearly the players didn't support.
Are you, like, are you relieved, Jamie, that this has happened, or could the damage that's been done be too drastic? Are you angry that it got to this in the first place? What's the emotion?
Mixed, really, a bit of all. I don't think, I think it was definitely the wrong time. Anyway, we were getting into a game which was a Scottish Cup final. Before that, we had the Hearts, League Cup final, sorry. We had the Hearts game, we had the Europa League game against Roma. These three games were a must win in every single one of them. Roma game, no so much. A draw would have been good against Roma, because at the end of the day, we all know how good Roma actually are. They're fantastic. The way they play football is unreal. I feel the Sittmarin game, there was no oomph, there was no pressure on Sittmarin. Sittmarin strolled the game for the first whistle. I mean, they scored, what, 90 seconds into the game? From the first whistle to the last, it was constant pressure for Sittmarin. And under Martin O'Neill, I don't think that happens. Seven wins Martin O'Neill got in eight games. Why the board never kept him to the end of the season, or even January, was beyond me. And they appointed a man who, albeit done well in an American league, but I mean, come on, lads, that's America. It's no football. It's really no. It's probably League Two, League One, England level.
See, to be fair, I think overall the league, very quickly because I'm late, but I don't. The MLS isn't worse than the Scottish Premiership overall, but is it a suitable environment to prepare you for the Celtic job? That's maybe a different question.
No, and it's not as if he was enjoying unbridled success in the MLS, Gordon.
Right, thank you to, is that three Jamies in a row? Other names are allowed, so give us a call. Let us know what you're thinking tonight whilst I run this past you. They, and by they I mean Gordon DL above everybody else, say the best things in life are free. So why not start 2026 with the chance to win £125,000 this Wednesday, and you can play for free. Kickstart the year with a cool £125,000 in the bank by texting the word free to 61025. That's free, 61025. The entry, you guessed it, it's free, but the standard network charges apply for sending the message. You can enter for free at makemeawinner.co.uk, where you will also find the rules for this network competition. It's over 18s only. Lines close 5 p.m. Wednesday. Just answer the call and the £125,000 would be yours straight into your account after the call. So for your chance to win, text free to 61025, and I'm not going to say the word free anymore between now and the end of the show. Get in touch, we'll speak to you next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here. Spare a thought for you, Andy Halliday. Last week you thought you were going to get the chance to wax lyrical about Motherwell's victory against Celtic, but we didn't have a show on Hogmanay. Tonight you thought you were finally in to revel in a significant Rangers win over Celtic, and alas, we're just talking about the Celtic managerial departure.
I know, I thought this was my time. I thought I've waited ages for this, but I was more, like I said to you at the time, after that performance at Firth Park, I was really praying for an emergency show.
I was very torn.
I had to delve deeper into what we just watched that night.
I was very torn because I was looking forward to Hogmanay off, time with the family, time with friends, went for a nice meal up your neck of the woods, etc. But I thought, we've just missed the chance to talk about that Motherwell performance, and now it's gone. It's a distant memory.
And I think we'd have had plenty of people want to phone in and talk about that performance.
We would have had a good trip down recent memory lane. John is on the line. John,
there's Jamie.
No more Jamies allowed. What are you thinking, John?
Hi, good evening, Gordon, Andy and Roger.
Hi, John.
Hi guys. Now, my point tonight, listen, I've had wee whispers, and I know you hear wee rumours here and there, but people tell you wee things. Now, we're talking about the night Wilfred Nancy's gone, right? I think it's this is back, swinging back now to Dermot Desmond. Dermot Desmond's quite good at appointing manager. I think he gave the reins to other people, Tisdale or whatever. I'm here tonight as well. It could be a couple of positions to be filled, Gordon. And the one was Martin O'Neill would be taking Peter Lowell's seat, and the hot seat would be going to Big Ange. So I think Dermot Desmond is going to be filling a few seats, to be fair.
I love it. You're on a roll. Who's getting Paul Tisdale's job while we're at it?
Well, Henrik Larsson. No matter.
What? Right, was that...
I tell you, you heard it first here, Gordon.
Are you serious about Henrik Larsson?
I spoke to somebody earlier on here, and you know what I'm saying, I'm a quality of show, right? Henrik Larsson, Paul Disdale's seat, and Martin's on Peter's seat, and the hot seat for Big Ange. But
what a trio that is.
You know something, John? Seen this season, of all seasons, the most amazing thing is we can't argue with you, because that might be right.
It just might happen.
It just might happen.
Martin Neil is the Celtic chairman, and Henrik Larsson is the head of football operations.
Can I just tell you, Gordon, Celtic have just had a guy called Wilfred Nancy, a Frenchman from Columbus, in charge for 33 days, where he lost 6 of his 8 games and had to be sacked along with 3 of his coaches and the head of football operations.
Hugh Keevan's in as head of communications.
Nothing that John says is any more fanciful than what's actually happened in reality.
Oh, I don't know. Martin O'Neill is... yeah, you're right. I shouldn't argue, because they'll just clip it up and I'll look daft. Why would Martin O'Neill become the chairman, though?
Listen, as you said,
come on.
As you said, well, the sequel that is Scottish Stranger Things, that would top the lot for me.
Listen, there's a vacancy. All joking aside, there's a vacancy there. And normally the appointment of a football club chairman, who cares? It's the chairman. Doesn't really matter. You know, Celtic have a chairman that have come and gone in recent years. You know, you think of Ian Bankier and Brian Quinn and various people like that. I think the next appointment of a Celtic chairman is a hugely significant appointment. I hope John agrees with me. Because part of the chairman's remit is going to be to mend a broken relationship between the club and its fan base. So who would be better placed to take that role on than someone that the fan base adores?
Is it not more likely, John, that Martin O'Neill returns in the dugout for this weekend?
No, all joking aside, I know that what you're saying, but what Roger said there is very important, that role. And I think what Roger said there, Martin O'Neill is the glue here, for me anyway. But my personal opinion, I would love to see Ange Postecoglou. And then I think I need to take in consideration, see when the night they've made that statement about Wilfred Nancy going, they've not come out and said anybody's taking interim management or whatever. I do think Dermot Desmond, and I think it's down to Dermot Desmond, by the way, I think it's him that's going to make this call again, the next manager call. I think... I think Big Ange Postecoglou has got a big shout here to be the next Celtic manager, and I'd love to see Martin O'Neill go up the stair. And I think that can you imagine that happening? If that's the case, it's so far fetched. But if that's the case, that just puts everything back on track, big time, and more.
Well, Roger, I don't think there would be many Celtic fans would not welcome Ange Postecoglou, but yeah. I assume, I mean, we were having these conversations 35 days ago when they were looking for...
Listen, I'm sure the phone call's gone into Big Ange at some stage, and if Ange Postecoglou wanted to come back, we would never have heard the name Wilfred Nancy. Ange Postecoglou would have been back 70 days ago as the Celtic manager. I just think the way things are moving, for me, it looks as if it'll be Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney. But listen, in this season, Gordon, anything could happen.
I'm now not going to push back, just in case. I'm scared that Scottish football's got one more twist in it, and that Henrik Larsson returns to replace Paul Tisdale.
What it does as well is, you know what you're getting with Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney, and most importantly for Celtic, the players know what they're getting with Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney. And they'll tell you, you know, if the players are comfortable, you're more likely to get good results and good performances out of them. And that's what Celtic need just now. And they can work away in the background to get a new chairman, and work away in the background to get a new head of football operations, or whatever that position was called. If they can get results back to the way they were on the pitch, it buys them a bit of time to get everything else done.
I need some time to digest these suggestions. Thank you to John on the line. Let's play this for a bit of light relief.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, it's beat the pundit time. Your chance to get one over on one of the big dogs, Roger Hanna or Andy Halliday. 0141 951 1025. And the lines close at 7.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. Loads of you trying to get through on the phones. Keep them coming. We'll do our very best to get through them, to react to the news that Wilfried Nancy has been sacked by Celtic. 33 days, 8 games in charge. Unbelievable. So, well, maybe believable, looking at the last few weeks. But give us a call, keep the reactions coming, and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, come on then, Beat the Pundit. The listeners picked up their first win of 2026 yesterday on the tiebreaker. I always feel like Sunday games feel a bit different, a bit of a different atmosphere. I feel like this is the real business to try and topple you two. Lewis is in Motherwell. How's it going, Lewis?
Yeah, very good, thank you.
Have
very
you good. Ever played before?
I have not, no.
Right, okay, and you just chose the most difficult night by a mile to give it a go. I like your style.
I know.
Good man, right. If you get the blue side of the coin, it will be Andy Halliday. The red side will be Roger Hanna. What are you pointing at?
It's got to be him.
Has he's been due for the last few weeks, has
yeah,
it?
Yeah, he's due again.
When was the last time you played? Has it been a while?
Well, he played that Wednesday, but the last time he played that Monday has been
three Celtic managers ago.
Let's do it. Let's find out.
It's me again, can't believe it.
It is Andy Halliday. Wow. This is what a run he's on. Right, so let's give Andy something else to listen to. Lewis, you have 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can.
Wait, no music.
Oh, you're not hearing the music. That's good honesty from you. You could, Gordon DL would have just let me read the questions.
Still no music.
I'm just going to keep talking. I can't do anything about it. I don't press the buttons. There we go. He's got the music now. Lewis, you've got 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yes.
Right, your time starts now. Name any club Paul Tisdale managed.
MK Dons.
Who was the last British player to score an Old Firm goal for Rangers?
John Souter.
Who's older, Jimmy Tilleen or Wilfried Nancy?
Jimmy Tilleen.
Which Scotland player scored 2 English Premier League goals on Saturday?
Pass.
Super Saint is the mascot of which team?
St Mirren.
Scott McTominay wears what shirt number for Napoli?
Number 39.
In what year did Sir Alex Ferguson retire?
2014.
Okay, let's bring him back. Andy Halliday, you ready?
Yes.
What were you enjoying? Any?
A bit of a news flash and then a song at the end there, but do you know that song? I don't.
It's Ray.
Well, there you go.
How do Ray. I know that and you don't know that? I'm 54. Come on.
I'm sorry.
Where is my husband?
Yes.
I'm not going to make that joke. There are jokes related to this show that could easily be apply to that situation and it will not be done. New year, new me. Right, 30 seconds on the clock, Andy Halliday. Same questions and your time starts now. Name any club Paul Tisdale managed.
Exeter.
Who was the last British player to score an Old Firm goal for Rangers?
Nancy.
Which Scotland player scored 2 English Premier League goals on Saturday? Super Saint is the mascot of which team?
St Johnson.
Scott McTominay wears what shirt number for Napoli?
8.
In what year did Sir Alex Ferguson retire?
2015.
Celtic won the 1986 league title at which stadium?
Easter Road.
Oh, come on.
How should I know that?
It's a famous one. Lewis, what do you think?
Thank you for the absolute nightmare, to be honest.
That's honesty, Lewis.
I thought they were hard again.
They were quite tricky. Andy does start on -1, so you stay in front of him, Lewis, because you knew that Paul Tisdale had managed MK Dons. You had the choice of Stevenage, Exeter, Bristol Rovers, etc. So you both got it. Andy Halliday stays on 1 behind. You'll kick yourself here. The last British player to score for Rangers in an Old Firm game.
Oh, Mickey Moore. Can you believe it? I was just thinking last year.
Well, luckily for you, Lewis didn't get it either. Andy stays 1 behind. Jimmy Tilleen or Wilfried Nancy? It's a 50-50. There is a year, less than a year in it. Lewis, you went for the wrong one. It's Wilfried Nancy. 48-47. I mean, come on. Small margins and all that. Level game. Which Scotland player scored 2 English Premier League goals at the weekend? It was John McGinn against Nottingham Forest with typical disease celebration.
What was the goalie doing?
It's a good question. One that's usually applied to Scottish football, but John McGinn taking advantage. And that moves Andy in front. Super Saint is the mascot of St Johnston, not St Mirren, Lewis. I feel like Lewis was kind of close on a couple of answers, but ultimately Andy pulling away. Very interested in why you chose 39 for Scott McTominay. Was that his Man United number, in fact? Is that, yeah. Was that your thinking?
I'm sure they used to wear that with Scotland.
I doubt he wore it for Scotland, but maybe Man United is 8 for Napoli.
Andy, oh my.
You're rubbish at squad numbers as well.
The last two were a guess. That was a guess. And by the way, 50-50 was a guess or not.
In what year did Sir Alex Ferguson retire? You had said 2015. Ooh. Lewis said 2014.
2013.
It's 2013. Lewis, honestly, you are really close and yet you're getting battered here. 1986 league title. Tell him, Roger.
Love Street.
St
Mirren 0, Celtic 5, Dundee 2, Hearts 0.
That's number for me.
Hearts thought they'd won the league, winning the league last game of the season.
I wasn't born.
Not familiar with that. Okay, never mind. Okay, Lewis, it was not enough. You get a few close shaves, but he's he has streaked ahead in the end.
Really lucky there, though, Lewis. Lucky.
Well, I might have got the Premier League two goal scorers run, but I was preoccupied at the weekend with Old Firm.
I did wonder. I was thinking most people would have known John McGinn unless you were out celebrating another result, Lewis, in another time. That result, the second half performance, dominates the show on the Monday night that follows, but such is the news cycle, we've moved on. What did you make of it then?
To be honest, before the game I was a bit nervous, thinking, is it going to be same old with injuries in the recent history, and are we going to collapse when the pressure's on? But to be fair, done it all. I think he admitted that Selden's interview after the match, and he says he got it wrong in the first half, but the second half, Wilfred Nancy just didn't know how to respond to the tactical change.
It's a remarkable game, Andy. There's no point in trying to make a case for Wilfred Nancy now. He's been sacked. That first half performance was as convincing an attacking performance of Celtic put in many Old Firm games.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, as Lewis says, changed by Rangers, he couldn't handle it. And there we go, levelling points at the end of the day.
Yeah. I wouldn't have begrudged the game plan, a Rangers going man for man against Celtic. I can understand why you would go for that. I think that some of the positions that Manny Fernandez was having to go man for man with Arne Engels at Celtic then caused Rangers all sorts of problems. Thought Rangers started the game okay in the first sort of 5-10 minutes. You've got to say, Gordon, although Rangers were man for man, Celtic played some really nice stuff in possession to cut Rangers open at will. And Rangers were extremely fortunate that it was only 1-0 at half time. But we've seen this movie with Celtic before under Wilfred Nancy, where they've had 45 minute performances, but as soon as they're put under any type of pressure and asked to defend, they can't do so. And it was that tactical tweak for Danny Rowe. Changed Rangers' setup out of possession, allowed them to win a lot more balls centrally, a lot more balls in midfield, and then asked Celtic to defend, which they done.
There was something so representative about it all, Roger. It summed up where Celtic are under Wilfred Nancy. It kind of summed up Rangers, where really bad for 45 minutes, but find a way, tweak things, streetwise, find a way to win games, and there's no secrets to why they're now level on points.
As Andy said at the top of the show, huge for Yusuf Chermiti. You wonder what that can do for him moving forward. Quite big for Mikey Moore, the last British player to score for Rangers in an Old Firm game. A big goal for him. What I was going to ask Andy, what does it say for the future of James Tavernier? Because that is maybe not the first time he's been left out, but the first time he's been left out in a game against Celtic at Parkhead, when Rangers are trying to get back into a title race. His contract's up at the end of the season. Are we witnessing the final weeks of James Tavernier at Rangers?
I don't mind saying it, and I said it to Gordon when we chatted about it briefly before the game. I've been a staunch defender of James Tavernier on this show for a number of years, and I said to Gordon that I wouldn't have played him in the game. I thought Danny Rowe would go for a similar type of setup where it was almost man for man, and I just thought James Tavernier having to defend big spaces against Daza Maeda, I didn't think it was the way to go. Whereas Dujon Sterling, I think any time he's played in Old Firm games, whether it's been at right back or right centre half or centre midfield, I think he's coped well. I think he's obviously got the athleticism over James Tavernier, and I thought that was the right call, and I think it proved to be the right call. I still think James Tavernier is going to have a part to play from now to the end of the season, but obviously, he's at a certain age. It'll be interesting to see what his future lies after this season.
Lewis, the Rangers go on and win the league from here?
With a strong January, yes.
how strong would it need to be then? What are we talking? Because you could say that about a lot of teams.
So these starting players of very good quality, I'd say.
Okay, positions?
I think that we need a left back. I think we need a centre mid. And I think you're going to need a goal scorer. I know Chirmiti scored two at the weekend, but I still can't see Chirmiti being in a title winning team, to be honest with you.
Fascinating that the question about whether Saturday's result puts Rangers into, you know, more into the conversation about winning the league.
Yeah.
How for some people that's now changed as of Monday because Celtic have you know, sacked Wilfried Nancy.
Yeah, and listen, it's understandable. We've seen ourselves earlier in the show.
You keep avoiding saying who's going to win the league. Honestly, I know.
I nearly got it out on before the show as well, but if it doesn't come on, then what I say.
With experience comes wisdom, Andrew.
What is your opinion, early. Roger? It's only your opinion.
You've tipped hearts. Hugh Keevans has tipped everybody. So I'll hang. Let's listen. This season, it's impossible to say. I'm a major writing off Motherwell at this stage of the season because that would be the final act of the craziest season in Scottish football. If Hearts blew it in the last day and Motherwell won the league,
just let Motherwell go under the radar. Don't you worry about Motherwell.
What does the weekend do then? You can include today if you want. What does the weekend and today do for your thoughts? And
well, it doesn't change my opinion on who I think will win the league. I'll still stick with Hearts.
Are you doing that Rangers fan self-preservation thing?
Absolutely
though?
Absolutely not.
Because it's a statement win all of a sudden,
which they maybe had lacked
before.
Well, I'll hold my hands up and I'll say that I didn't think that this Rangers team would be in any type of title race.
You also didn't think they would win at the weekend?
No, I never.
Can you beat Aberdeen home in a way?
Not under Jimmy Tillian anymore either, which we'll get
who
to.
Who knows? Listen, in all fairness, if Rangers lost or dropped points, to Pittodrie, again, I touched on this with Wilfried Nancy, there's certain games where it's not all right, but you can live with it. Pittodrie, regardless of Aberdeen's form, has always been a difficult place for Rangers. It's always been a difficult place for Rangers to go up to. So these things can happen. But the reason I didn't think the Rangers would be in a title race is because I've watched every single game. And that group of players was the group of players that had their worst league start since 1978. Now, obviously, a big part of that was the manager at the time. And Danny Rowe has done ever so well, extremely well, and deserves enormous credit for it. I just think he is getting and squeezing every ounce of the squad he's got at this moment in time. So I do agree with Lewis, it was just on the phone there. If Rangers are to have, and I'll go one step further, a perfect window, because that's what they need. They need a perfect window for me. And they get, Lewis said three, I'm saying four. If they get four immediate starters to improve the team, then absolutely they can win it. But at this moment in time, I'll stick with Hearts.
Lewis, can that performance at the weekend be transformative for Yusuf Chirmiti?
I still don't think he'll score enough goals that you need to be a Rangers starting number nine, but I'm hoping he'll gain a bit of confidence and hopefully he'll be able to contribute as the season goes on.
We'll see. Thank you, Lewis. Defeat on Beat the Pundit, but enjoyed his company nevertheless. Mark is in Kilmarnock. What are your thoughts for the guys tonight, Mark?
Hi guys, happy new year to you all.
Same to you, Mark.
Happy new year, Mark.
First off, like, Nancy's always going to be in the spotlight tonight, and quite rightly so. But I don't think we should take away the job that Danny Rowles is doing. Andy just touched on it there. What a job. And I tell you what, I think if Rangers win the league this season, which I think we will now do, if we have a strong window, we will struggle to keep him. I think he's showing not just man management skills, as Andy said, squeezing everything out of that squad, but even just the little nuances, little tweaks he's doing in games, and we're seeing it game after game after game. You know, the job he's doing is absolutely brilliant, and I think, you know, it's going to go under the radar a little bit just now, given the situation across the city, but I don't think we should take eyes off him. I think he's doing an unbelievable job at Rangers this season, and I really do think he gets two, three players in, as Lewis just said before me. I think it makes his favourite for the league. I really do.
Football management's a precarious business. Some of the stuff I saw written about Danny Rowe on social media at 1:15 on Saturday afternoon, Andy. I'm not saying Mark's wrong, but the success or the praise is coming from those tweaks maybe and recognising what's not going right. Maybe you can't get everything right from the start, but you know the results the main thing in the end up, and as Mark said, you can't really argue too much with the points total so far.
And listen, in all fairness, if Celtic had a firing number 9, then the game was probably out of sight at half time, given the dominance that Celtic had. But like we said, huge credit for Danny Rowe making that tactical change at half time, dived Rangers back into the game and eventually go and win it. And you know, you've seen everyone talk about, you know, since he's came in, this is what the league table's like. Roger might be able to clarify because I can't remember the exact number, but there was a point in time where Rangers were out of the title race. They were. It was 17, was it up to maybe 17 points behind Hearts?
I spoke to Danny Rule today. I think he said 13 behind Hearts when he took over, now down to 6.
Was it 13 behind Hearts? Right?
I think that's what he said, so I'll blame him rather than.
And there was 9 double figures behind Celtic. And again, not just the points tally, but level of performance that you've watched for Rangers and personnel that they've got. And he's not had a pre-season like Wilfred Nancy kept talking about. He's not brought in his own players yet, but he's squeezed every ounce out of the group that he possibly can. He's changed shape game to game, you know, personnel that he's got available to try and get the 3 points that's available that weekend. And he's got 9 wins out of 12, 2 draws, only 1 league defeat. And listen, we're now in the most integral part of probably 4 Rangers to win the league, and that is, we're in 5th of January for this January transfer window. I'm actually really, really surprised that Rangers haven't signed anyone yet. I thought such was the need for new bodies in the door. I thought a lot of work would have been done prior. Listen, we all know how difficult this window can be to bring in players, but I thought there'd be at least one done early. But for Rangers to win the league, for me, it all depends on what the next 3 weeks holds.
Yeah, listen, not even the next 3 weeks. I think Rangers, I said last week, if they could beat St Mirren and then win at Celtic Park, I would acknowledge they're in a title race, and they've done that. But if you're going to win a title, there are loads of challenges and you need to get over them all. And I think that's home and away to Aberdeen without Jimmy Tillin. I think that is the next obstacle for Rangers. If they can get 6 points in the next few days, wow, they are right in it. I will absolutely say they're right in it. They do need players. Lewis is right at a left back. A lot of talk about James Penrice coming back from Greece.
Anything in that, as far as you're aware?
I think they're interested. I don't know whether you'd be able to get the money sorted, Gordon. Yeah. There are players coming back to fitness. Chermiti has scored goals. Moore's playing well. So there are guys now contributing who weren't contributing earlier in the season. Manny Fernandez among them has come in and played a lot of games because of circumstances.
Mark, does,
but they need to keep going.
Does Celtic's decision to sack Wilfried Nancy damage your belief in any way that Rangers will win the league?
No, not really. I'll say this on behalf of Rangers fans, we're devastated on that news, right? But no, it doesn't change it, I think.
So why are you so devastated then?
Some laugh. Let's be honest, it was a good laugh while it lasted. But that being said, I can't say I've watched a lot of Celtic, but the games that I have watched, even under Martin O'Neill, I don't think they were great. I thought they were really, really poor, to be fair, as much as we were. But yeah, I just don't see it. I think they're in turmoil, and you know, speaking on our history, we know what that's like and what that does to a club inside and out, on and off the pitch. So I think it'll be a real, real challenge for them over the coming months. So no, I still believe that, you know, Rangers will win the league this season. I stand by it. I've watched said that for a few weeks now. The results are just, they're churning, and that's what a winning manager does. I mean, you look back all those years to Walter Smith, for example. The football was never great. It was never, oh, look at the style, look at this, look at that. It was, we won matches. Sometimes we won ugly, but we won games, and that's what's going to win us the league.
We'll see. Thank you very much. Thank you to Mark and Kilmarnock. Good time to join in. We'll speak to you next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here, and much to their disappointment, we are going to push the full-time teaser to one side because we have breaking news coming out of Celtic this season, and it's that the Copa Mundials, the Celtic tracksuit, is back. Martin O'Neill returns for a third time, a second time this season, until the end of the campaign, supported by Sean Maloney, Mark Fotheringham as assistants, Stephen McManus, Gavin Strachan, Stevie Woods and Greg Wallace, presumably not that one, to oversee first team matters. There are some quotes from Martin O'Neill. They've even got an interview on their YouTube channel already, Celtic, I think. And it's incredible. I'm really pleased, in fact, very honoured to be asked to manage the team again. How is this happening? I know we'd all have hoped for different things to have worked out under Wilfried. I personally want to wish him good luck. He's a fine man. I'm sure he'll go on to achieve success. I've no doubt. For me, I've been asked to take this great job again, and my focus will be to try and get us back to winning ways if we can. We need everyone right behind us.
Wow. Listen, it's not quite the kind of speechlessness I was when he first returned on October 27 at the bottom of the statement saying Brendan Rodgers had resigned. But, you know, it's a remarkable season. It's the latest twist, the latest plot line in this incredible Scottish Premiership season. Martin O'Neill back in charge of Celtic at the age of 73 for a third time with Sean Maloney, with the coaching team that wins 7 out of 8 in the back end of the autumn. And you just wonder what it means for Celtic's chances of regaining or retaining the Premiership title.
I remember when he got reappointed the first time, everyone said, this is mad, isn't it? You know, he's got 73-year-old, he's 25 years ago, right? And now he's back for the third time. The second time this season, incredible.
Well, this time feels slightly less mad because, like he says, it is that we spoke about it, what, 45 minutes ago. It just felt like it was that safe pair of hands that the Celtic board were going to choose. Like I says, I think we'll get calls from now to the end of the show. Celtic fans pretty pleased with it. They felt as if he should have been in charge for the last 8 games. The only person I want to hear from though is Jamie Tu, that promised as Ange Henrik Larsson and Mark Mignot as chairman.
Good point. It's so falling apart.
That could be next season. Right. And by the way, you joke about the tracksuit. You know, you need to get another
deadly
one.
Deadly serious.
Because I think when he left after the Dundee game, he was at John Hartson's charity lunch and
auctioned
the trackie for quite a sizable sum of money, I'm led to believe. So they'll need to go back to the superstore and get him another one.
Wonder where Wilfried's tactics board is in all of this. Surely that could be auctioned off for a good cause.
Yeah, you probably get a bit of money from that with the original. Andy Halliday might take it, the original blue and red counters.
You like, well, hey, Andy Halliday and tactics boards, that got him in enough trouble this season. Don't think we need to go back there.
Well, remember
that. Anything you want me to go on, I'll go on.
Spoke to Russell Martin since?
I've not, actually. Never got that coffee date that was promised.
Funny, yeah. It surprises me. Chris is on the line. Chris, Martin and Neil's back. What do you think?
I told you this a couple of weeks ago. I said when Martin O'Neill was departed and Nancy had come in, I was like, this is crazy. And whoever's made this decision would have egg on their face. And it's splattered. I'm glad Martin's back, but it just shows you how bad the boardroom is. Do you know what I mean? So
what do you mean by that? Just the having to go back a second time?
He's back in. They could just have let him take care of the 3 important games, and the mood at Celtic would be so much different. That's how bad the board's got this wrong. They've not destroyed the entire season, but they've almost half done that already. And hopefully, we've seen Martin and how quick he can come in, turn things around. Can he do that again? Do you know what I mean? Can he do it again? That's
the thing, Roger, because the Scottish football fans don't need me to tell them this season that there are no guarantees.
No, he's not coming in with a magic wand.
What if Martin O'Neill suddenly has a ropey time of it? You know, when people pointed to the Dundee game, his last one before, the St Mirren game where Callum McGregor dug them out a hole. The Celtic squad hasn't got any better since then.
Listen, there are no guarantees in football.
But he did win a lot of football matches.
I think if you're Celtic, I think you've a better chance moving forward with Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney than you would have moved forward with Wilfried Nancy. Now, that doesn't mean Celtic will win the league. It doesn't mean they'll win the Scottish Cup. It doesn't mean Martin O'Neill will suddenly charge through the Europa League like he did in 2003. But he's a better manager at Celtic than Wilfried Nancy will ever be. And I think Celtic tonight have given themselves the best opportunity to get back into this title race and maybe retain the title.
I mean, Andy, I actually get what Chris means, because in many ways Celtic are now admitting to other mistakes tonight. You're admitting that you got Wilfried Nancy wrong, and in many ways you're admitting that you shouldn't have let Martin O'Neill go when he went. If he's the first guy you go back to,
you do ask the question: would Wilfried Nancy have been given a better chance if Martin O'Neill took day three games that we were talking about, the big 8 days that Celtic had. But no, it was Wilfred Nancy that took charge after only 2 days training, and it got him off to the worst possible start. And like you say, as I said, that was probably the game for me, St Mirren in the domestic cup final, that thought his time was limited and it was going to end. It now has. Martin O'Neill's back. The more I talk about it, it just does really sum up the season that we've had in Scotland. But listen, that's why we love it.
What were the Celtic fans in this show for years and years and years? Come on, this phone in and slaughtered Peter Lawwell. The man's been away 5 days. They've lost at home to Rangers and had to sack a manager, a head of football operations, and three coaches.
That's a whole different show in itself. I suspect. I don't know what the calls will come in on that topic. Chris, what do you think in terms of Celtic's title winning credentials from here?
Well, they'll obviously just take it game by game, and hopefully Martin can just try and get things right. We'll go back to a back four at least. Hopefully that's the first thing we should see. Four defenders actually on the park, and get some belief about us. The fans, there's a bit going on with some supporters clubs and that, maybe putting a vote out. Maybe some fans might not even be gone on Saturday. So it just
they'll go now, surely.
Well, there'll be discussions between the fan groups, I would imagine, but let's just hope Celtic can salvage this season, because that's what we need today. Hearts, I imagine Hearts and Rangers will be a wee bit shaky, because they'll not be as confident as of yesterday. Mm-hmm.
You say the same for Auchinleck Talbot, Chris?
Yeah,
well, that's another one. That could have been an absolute disaster to
Celtic fans. Martin O'Neill walks into a home game against Dundee United. Yeah. Again, to talk about that, it's not a, no offence to Jim Goodwin's side, because they, of course, beat Celtic recently, but that's not a home game against Hearts. Mm-hmm. Like Wilfred Nancy got in his first game. They then go in the midweek away to Falkirk. Yeah. Wilfred Nancy went home to Roma in his second game. Wilfred Nancy's third game was a cup final against St Mirren. Martin O'Neill's third game this time will be Auchinleck Talbot. We'll never know, but you do just wonder how it would have played out.
What about the 5th though? That game on the 25th of January.
Away. Oh. Bologna in between. There's a pretty interesting run of Bologna, Hearts, Utrecht after that, but we'll never know if the timing had just been altered, if this would have played out differently.
I think we will know. I don't think it matters which matches he was put in for, whether he got two games fewer, two games more. Wilfred Nancy was never going to cut it at Celtic. The board have done the right thing today, making the change.
Someone very close to the Martin O'Neill era, the Martin O'Neill team, shall we say.
Oh, I know who this is already.
Told me a couple of weeks ago that they felt that what they had at that time was a system that limited the number of issues within the Celtic squad, right? So it felt that maybe there was... Did Luke McCowan play wide right towards the end of some of Martin O'Neill's games? Would that be right?
Yes, he played there.
Feyenoord, maybe?
Feyenoord, yeah.
In a 4-3-3 and kind of inside right. Yeah.
Right, so they felt that they acknowledged there's injuries, they acknowledged that the squad wasn't as strong as they would like it to be, but that system maybe left them with a problem on the right-hand side, and you have to put one square peg in a round hole. They then observed, from whatever distance you choose to come up with, that the Wilfred Nancy system gave them four problems minimum, four square pegs and round holes.
I mentioned it at the top of the show,
rather than one. So it's pretty obvious they'll go back to something like that, isn't it?
Back to 4-3-3, of course. The first thing they'll do, Liam Scales will come back in. It'll be Ralston O'Donovan at right back. It'll be Trusty and Scales in the middle because Carter Vickers is still out. Tierney will play off the dogs left back. It'll be a midfield three, I would imagine, of McGregor, Engels, Hatate, and then it'll be. Wouldn't be surprised to see Luke McCowan again in that kind of inside right. I think Maida will start at centre forward, and then maybe Yang on the left.
Not that he was great recently, but when's Tonetki back?
He is back. They get beaten. They lost in penalties to Mali at the weekend.
The one thing, again, this is way down the list of Wilfried Nancy's faults and flaws, but he was asked loads of times about where Iheanacho was, and he never really provided it. Do you have any idea of a timeline on that? No.
No, I mean, it's a hamstring again. If you remember, he limped out. I can't remember what game it was. One of the home games. Yeah, sorry.
No, it was the cup final.
No, again. And listen, they've had a lot of injuries. Jota still out. Carter Vickers, Johnson, Sarachi, Iheanacho. They have had their fair share of injury concerns. I actually don't think it would have made a huge difference under Wilfried Nancy, but if you can get the likes of Tenekte back, it certainly gives another option. Julian Araujo's there. You've no idea what Martin O'Neill might think of him. And also with the window open now, you've got 3.5 weeks to just sort out. You're talking about square pegs and round holes. Get round pegs.
Were players being identified for the 3-4-3 up until the weekend, Andy?
And I've no doubt about
it. And if so, does that put you back in a transfer window which is, you know, already 5 days old?
Yeah, so listen, Henrik Larsson's got a job in his hand every time he comes in and
what's he getting is he up
the
front
for the 4-3-3. I was just thinking there, you guys have just built a news of Martin O'Neill named Celtic manager to the end of the season. Who's the happiest out of the personnel at Celtic? I've got a funny feeling it might just be Rio Hatate, given that it almost felt as if his form was reinvigorated again under Martin O'Neill. You were starting to see the Rio Hatate of old. He then finds himself at the team when Wilfried Nancy comes on, and I thought his performance when he came off the bench at the weekend looked to me as if he was someone that was out the door in the matter of days. He just looked disinterested to me. So I wonder if the likes of that news.
No. Tell us who's really relieved that Martin O'Neill's into the end of the season.
You.
Because you told, be honest, you tried to cover up at the start of the show. You told me this afternoon you were worried that they would look along the M74
definitely
for Mercedes Jens.
And to be honest, I don't think that would anybody that wouldn't have him in the frame when you were talking about who could potentially be the next manager if it wasn't the return that a Martin O'Neill or Sean Mooney. So like he says, I did have a wee beaming smile when I seen that, just because it means that we keep a manager at the end of the season at the very least.
Thank you, Chris. What about your reaction, John Paul?
Evening, Gordon, Andy, Roger.
Hello.
Hi, John.
Well, wow. Obviously, that's my first reaction as well. Like you guys, you know, I can't help. Obviously, I'm happy, kind of happy with the appointment. And it brings me on to my point about the board. And I'll say, I didn't even say this lightly. I came on the show for the start of the season and said about the board, about even go back to the Carrigan game, right, where the board knew we had to get reinforcements in. They never done it. They gambled on it, and then they get Tenekte in 2 days later, when that could have been done before. Now, I'm not going to say Tenekte would have made a difference, but it was a signing that could have lifted everybody. And then Roger leaves, and they get Martin O'Neill in. Now, Andy, you played the game, and you understand when, even look at Danny Rowland, he's inherited a squad to Russell Martin, who couldn't win any games, who wouldn't have won games that they're winning now. And players automatically feel a wee bit of belief after guy. They feel he's got a wee bit different. They get a lift. There's a buzz around the place. And they start doing what Celtic have done over the years of winning games. Doesn't matter how they're winning them. They're maybe not playing great, but they're winning games. Celtic were doing that under Martin O'Neill. They were in a feel-good factor. And then the board just decided, right, we'll just get this guy in for Columbus Crew, who, by the way, if you look at his last games, say Celtic and Columbus Crew, he's only won 2 games of football for September. 2 competitive games he's won. They threw that up in there. They play Hearts, a top of the league clash, who Martin O'Neill clawed back 6 points, got us back top of the league. Then a game against Roma, and this guy who's come in and changed his tactics says, no, you're doing it my way, this is how you're going to play. Players can't understand it. Trusty can't understand it. I heard you talk about Trusty going on about his defending one-on-one. His defending at the weekend was probably the worst I've ever seen. Obviously, I've played football a long time. Players, when they play under the manager, they just didn't get them. There was disconnect between the manager and the players. The players didn't trust them. The players didn't trust themselves in the position that they were asked to play. Yes, some of them weren't good enough. Some of them weren't pulling their weight. But you could see the disconnect. And the board have caused this. There was no need for the board to have caused this, to get a guy in for 33 days and then go away and get another manager in. Why not keep it the way it's going? We weren't playing great. We weren't playing great football, but we were winning games of football. We were batting a title race. There was a buzz around the place. Now they've got this guy back in now. Who's making the signings at Celtic? Did they come in and give Martin all this money to spend in January to then say, by the way, we might change it again in the summer?
I wonder, John Bull, one sort of constant through it all has been Sean Maloney. You know, Sean came back to the club when Brendan was still there. He was in that sort of position, sort of below or beside Paul Tisdale, and talent recruitment was part of that sort of remit. He was also looking at some of the younger players that was out, you know, were out on loan, and whether they could come back and help the team. So regardless of what Wilfried Nancy and Kwame Ampadu were thinking about signings, I'm pretty sure Sean Maloney will have been working away on a list of players that he thinks would benefit Celtic, you know, in the January transfer window. And I think you'd probably be looking at Sean Maloney's list of potentials rather than anything that Wilfred Nancy's left behind.
This is not to criticise that as such, Andy. Sean Maloney's list might be wonderful, but it would still highlight structurally what the issues are at Celtic. So Paul Tisdale wasn't the sporting director, director of football. He was Celtic's version. He was head of football operations. He's not there. People always talk about the power that Dermot Desmond has at the club with his shareholding. Michael Nicholson's the CEO, presumably runs the club on a day-to-day basis. And Roger's assessment is that Sean Maloney's picking the players for January. I mean, listen, if they're great players, then nobody will care. But, you know, that's quite chaotic.
Listen, it is chaotic. I would still argue that it's probably a better option than what it was going to be.
Sure.
Because fundamentally, the fact of the matter is, the fact that Celtic hired a manager who wanted to come in and play a 3-4-3 with 6 weeks to go before the transfer window with the players that they had at their disposal was just a terrible error on their part. Now, like he says, it probably is a wee bit chaotic now, but it's a better option than the road that we're going down. So, listen, it remains to be seen. Like he says, it's going to be, I think, big 3 weeks for Rangers, Celtic, potentially Hearts as well, and other clubs. It'll be interesting to see what they bring in. I'm pretty sure it's going to be back to a 4-3-3, like Roger says there. And as I said, tongue-in-cheek earlier, who personnel-wise in the Celtic squad is going to be the happiest? The fact of the matter is, it's all of them.
Imagine they lined up with three at the back on Saturday.
Be brilliant. I tell you what, be brilliant.
Oh, John Paul, thank you very much. Keep the calls coming. There's an Aberdeen managerial vacancy as well, if that's something you want to get your teeth into. And anything else from the weekend or before that, give us a call. We'll speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hannah now joined by Davey and Paisley on the line. Take it away, Davey.
Evening, guys.
Hi, David.
How's it going, David?
I was on the 18th of December talking to him about Wilfred Nancy that had to go and Tisdale had to go as well. But that's a new chapter again, I suppose. Absolutely delighted that Martin O'Neill's back. I heard Roger saying just 5 minutes ago there that Sean Maloney will probably have a bit of transfer activity as well. I'd like to think so. The first thing I would do in the morning is go to Hibs for £6 million and try and sign the boy Josh Mulligan and the boy Bibby. For backup, because Callum McGregor needs help in there. The boys that are there on the helmet, the boy McGowan, not for me. Engels, nope. Hattati was absolutely terrible when he came on Saturday. I think that's the two boys I would go for just as a starter.
I'll tell you, worth it just to hear Andy Halliday's heart breaking at having suggested Rangers should sign Josh Mulligan for the last five windows.
I'm a big fan of Josh Mulligan, David.
Would you get them both for six? Would Hibs sell both them?
I don't think you would get both of them for £6 million. You certainly get one of them, that's for sure. But as I said, I'm a big fan of Josh Mulligan. I think he's done really well again this season. And do you know what, David? I agree with you in terms of, we can talk about 3-4-3 Wilfred Nancy's system all day long, but Callum McGregor, with the amount of minutes he's got under his belt, the amount of games he's played, to be asked to play in a midfield too, I agree with you. I think he does need help. But I think he's already getting help by a new manager coming in and going back to that three-man midfield, because like he says, that not only playing in the midfield too, but the distance and the area that he was asked to cover defensively for Celtic over the last few weeks was nothing short of remarkable.
Is it just delight, Davey, that Martin O'Neill's back? Is there part of you that must think, like, you know, what a kind of waste of the last few weeks this was then? And not only, I mean, no one's even mentioned the money that it will cost to pay Wilfred Nancy, then pay him off and his coaching staff, just to go and get Martin O'Neill back. That must be hugely frustrating.
Yeah, it's a big relief, Gordon, because had they not done it just the weekend here, Monday, the league was done. As far as I'm concerned, it's back on. It's a three-way race. Had they not have done it, they've got the manager out, they need to go out within the next 2 days and sign a striker. The players have got to have a look at themselves as well. Okay, it's Saturday, it can be 4-0 at half time. If they're a striker, the game is out of sight at half time, and then it's a capitulation in the second half again.
So does that mean it wasn't all Wilfred Nancy's fault then?
The thing that summed up for me was the final nail in the coffin was Yang was the best man in the park the first half, and he switches on to bring on the boy that signed the day before. That was enough for me.
That's the thing, Roger. It all sounds good. You know, go and sign a striker. I'll be really fascinated to see who Celtic sign, when they sign them, because that's a key part of it. We mentioned that run of fixtures that comes up between now and January.
Yeah.
It's not that easy.
It's not an easy window. The last couple of windows have improved very easy for Celtic. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been scrambling about to get Kelechi Iheanacho after the last window closed. So it shows you the difficulty. But I think this, of all windows, Celtic need to push the boat out. In previous windows...
What does that mean, though, right? Because, like...
Well,
surely it's about how you spend it rather than what you spend.
Yeah, but I think if there was...
Balakwisha cost £5 million.
Yeah, Balakwisha did cost £5 million and has hardly been
seen. Adamida cost £9, Austin Trusty cost £6. That's pushing the boat out.
But Austin Trusty has been, you know, himself in centre-half. Celtic fans would love Adamida back for the last 6 or 8 games rather than Johnny Kenny with the chances he's missing. So... Yes, you do need to spend the money wisely, but I think if you're spending money, you need maybe to spend a little bit more than you would ordinarily want in this window, because in previous windows, Celtic have always had a buffer between them and Rangers, and then there's another buffer to anyone else. That buffer's gone now.
Andy, I think it's... But how do you force that? Again, I'll go back to... That can't be disregarded. Engels, Ida, Trusty, all in the same window, yeah? What does that amount to?
I think it was 25 million.
Right, 25, so you're saying spend more than you ordinarily would in the window? Like, it's hard to get this stuff right.
Yeah, listen, I agree with you in terms of it's about the personnel you bring on, making sure you get the right one. But I'll sway towards Roger in the sense that if I take last January, for example, and Celtic wanted the boy Fitzgarden,
yeah,
and I think they were arguing over £1-2 million. If that's the case this year and you want your man and it's a difference of £1-2 million your valuation, you have to go and get him. But absolutely, it's about the personnel, making sure they come in and the right person.
And they will be held to ransom, because selling clubs know that they're desperate to get the players in. They will hike up the fees and Celtic will need to pay it. And it's their own fault for procrastinating in previous windows.
Come on, Davey, leave us with a big statement. Do Celtic win the league now that Martin O'Neill's back in place of Wilfried Nancy?
Never in doubt. Never in doubt.
There we go. Thank you very much to Davey in Paisley. There is another managerial vacancy. I'm not naive enough to think that it was going to dominate the airwaves the same. Roger, Jimmy Tilleen, was he as inevitable?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very difficult weekend in Aberdeen. Dave Galloway get stuck in the snow and didn't make it to the Dundee Derby on Saturday, and Jimmy Tilleen probably wishes they hadn't made it to Falkirk on Saturday, because they were put in the shade by John McGlynn's very impressive Bairns team, and the pathetic performance was the final straw for Dave Cormack. He might have won the first Scottish Cup in 35 years, but he took Aberdeen no further forward than any of his predecessors. And he's paid the price, and he'll go back to Sweden.
I mean, he'll always be the manager that won the Scottish Cup, Andy. So he'll be fondly remembered. There's another argument, obviously, which says if they hadn't got over the line on penalties that day, he probably lost his job before. But you know, they did, and he'll always be able to take that with him.
Yeah, and both are through it. And they've been a really funny team, Aberdeen, this season. Obviously, they were sitting bottom of the league for a period, not having scored a goal within the first 6 domestic league games. Ever so recently, they went an 8-game beaten run, kept a few clean sheets, few 1-0 wins, and then back to no wins in 4. So they've been that streaky side all season. And again, I've used this word a lot tonight, but there was a form of inevitability with Jimmy Tilleen's tenure. He's been under pressure for the majority of the season. And obviously, the time was now for Aberdeen.
Craig Brown, Mark McGee, various managers have made the trip from Motherwell to Aberdeen. This guy wouldn't do it, would he?
No chance.
Is he staying for a tilt at this league title?
I'd like to think so. And I tell you what, my confidence levels have surged since I've seen that Martin O'Neill break news as well.
Stephen Robinson spoke today. He's linked with all of these jobs generally.
Two things I would say. Aberdeen took Jim Goodwin from St Mirren when he was a hot ticket, and it didn't work out for them, so they might not want to get down that route again. But they recently appointed a sporting director called Lutz Fahnenstiel, a German.
The penguin guy.
He doesn't like it. But you're not appointing Lutz Fahnenstiel to go and get Stephen Robinson or John McGlynn.
What if they're the best man for the job, though?
But I think looking at the CV of Lutz Fahnenstiel and looking at the previous appointments of Dave Cormack, I think they will look down their nose at other Scottish Premiership managers and will feel that they can get a better manager elsewhere in the world.
Didn't go well with Jimmy Tilleen then.
And it didn't go well for Celtic with Wilfried Nancy. Sometimes the obvious appointment is the best appointment. That obvious appointment may well be Stephen Robinson.
Thank you very much to Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday. But as always, the biggest thanks goes to you. The title as Scottish football's most bizarre season was secured long ago, and now we're just adding chapters to it for fun. Wilfred Nancy, the latest chapter. He came in 33 days, 8 games later. He's gone. Martin O'Neill is back for the second time this season, and he will stay, we assume, until the end of the season. Rangers won the Old Firm game at the weekend, but can they back it up against Aberdeen tomorrow? We will find out. We're back at 6 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.